This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Warning, warning, this is an official warning. The health service recommends you turn off your radio now. This program is not good for you. It will fry your brain.
It will cause lasting insanity.
Oh God!
Little to no orifices. You have been warned.
Razor blades in my eyes.
We warned you.
Oh God.
My eyes!
My ears!
We warned you. We warned you. Oh God, it's too late.
Meow.
Oh God, someone poke my eardrums out now. I can't handle it any longer.
Welcome to Sci-Fi. The
following program is rated M. It contains coarse language and violence.
Who killed Cock Robin? I set the sparrow with my bow and arrow. I killed Cock Robin. Who saw him die? I set the fly with my little eye. I saw him die. His blood. I set the fish with my little dish. I caught his blood. You'll make the shroud. I set the beetle with my thread and needle. I'll make the shroud. The grave. I set the owl with my pick and shovel. I'll dig the grave. Who'll be the clock? I set the lock. If it's not in the dark, I'll be the clock.
Yeah.
upset the bowl because I can call. I'll toll the bell. All the birds of the air fell a-sighing and a-sobbing when they heard the bell toll for poor Cock Robin.
And welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9, thanks to the fellows and the fellowettes of the Sound Museum here on Joy 94.9. Yes, Who Killed Cock Robin? That was Bird Radio. A little bit different. It's an English nursery rhyme, for those who don't know. And, of course, it's about the murder archetype, I suppose, used in world culture a lot. And Cock Robin does get his comeuppance for some reason. I mean, who knows? It's an ancient, very ancient origins to that one. And why are we talking about that? Because it is actually the theme to the new miniseries that has been or is streaming now and is accessible now, Wolf Creek. Wolf Creek on TV. And here to help me, I have Clayton Wimshurst.
And we have sat through it together. Separately together,
well,
but yeah.
Not together together, no, but, yeah. You know, from afar, together.
We've watched all six episodes. We won't spoil too much, though.
Well, if people can stream it if they want to.
They can.
It's on their, you know, devices or whatever they use, I suppose.
Oh, no, show us things start rhyming with Nan.
Nan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nan, not no. Nan.
I had no,
a
not Nan.
I had a roti today, but anyway. Okay. That was very nice. Yes, so we'll be looking at Wolf Creek. I was going to say Cock Robin. Very mysterious. And we
that's
also,
a different show.
That's a different show. But we've also got the wonderful Raymond. Raymond Trong is back with more magic. It's been about a year, probably.
About a year indeed. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, this is the third time. Third time lucky. Is that a special number in magic? In the magic world is number three special?
Maybe seventh of the seventh.
Oh, that's more special.
Yes, maybe. Okay.
Three is in fairy tales. It's a very popular number in fairy tales.
Yes, and in racing, but we don't condone gambling.
Oh, right, okay.
The trifactor. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yes, Raymond's back. We were chatting off air about just the huge amount of things that you actually do, Raymond, apart from being someone who has something up their sleeve all the time, a magician. Do you call yourself a magician?
That's primarily how I identify myself, but I do dabble in juggling and in acrobatics and in mime as well. But primarily, I would say my bread and butter comes from close-up work, just mingling with people and saying hi and approaching them and doing magic like that.
Just approaching random people and doing pulling things out from behind their ears and...
In a contextual setting, like I work in restaurants and bars every week that hire me to do that.
Wow, right.
Yeah,
looking for tips or something.
I am paid by the restaurant.
Oh,
I am paid by the restaurants to be there.
I want to see you exploited.
Yeah. Well, one way to keep your customers coming back.
So, yeah, just offer a bit of unusual and weird entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And not fair, we had a bit of unusual entertainment. Clayton was being entertained as
I was the...
Illusioned.
Yes. What do we call it?
Spectator?
Spectator, okay.
My guinea pig.
Yes, and it was very impressive.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind.
What happened?
I managed to get forced to stack a deck. No, we had... sorted the cards into colours, even though I didn't know what the cards were, which was very impressive. I have to think, what else? What else did you do? You can tell us.
Okay. One of my favorite pieces is a classic called the Chop Cup, where the potato and the lemon came out.
Ah, yes, that's right. Yes, that was good.
Yeah, so that's a fun little piece. And then the other one is just a color-changing back routine of the cards.
Yeah, that's right. The card changed color, and it had my card, and then matching. Oh, it was very impressive. So if only we could do it on radio. Do you have any tricks that work on radio?
Nothing that works. I mean, there's the old think of a number between 1 and 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is it 7?
14.
Well, why do we talk about magic on Sci-Fi and Scream? Because I think, to me, it's always been the same rule as that magic and superstition and spooky things go together.
I think absolutely.
The mysterious is what people are dying, literally dying to experience. Do you find people yearn their Raymond to almost be duped or be have something pulled over their eyes, literally, you know?
People, if you do it well, people do appreciate it, and people do certainly appreciate the skill to it. Mm. I think as much as anything, I think as people get older, people are more aware of sort of the natural laws, and to be able to suspend that for people, even though, or to give the appearance of suspending that, people really appreciate that, especially when it's done live, just because it's something that you just don't see.
And it takes them out of their mundane lives.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like, well, they used to call cinema, for example, the early cinema was, I think a lot of magicians used to play in front of cameras because it kind of fit, and it kind of has that history and origin story together, the melding of mystery and magic, the magic, you know, the silver screen.
Like George Méliès and Orson Welles were both magicians, so there you go.
Wow. Of course, George Méliès did the first, I suppose, film captured back in the day, gosh, over 100 years ago now. Very interesting. Have you seen Hugo? I'm just thinking because the Scorsese exhibition has started, and there is, of course, the Scorsese film Hugo, which has got the George Méliès sequences in it, which is really interesting. They had the little automaton man is in the exhibition. Yeah, there's a very interesting thing what goes on behind the curtain, and I guess the mystery and suspense that magic is probably, to my mind, is the parent of modern cinema.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yes. And the man behind the curtain, of course, the early cameras, they would go behind put a curtain over their head, basically, so the negative wouldn't get exposed, things like that. And early magic, sort of, I think, late 19th century magic had something to do with that.
Yeah, I suppose the origin of George Méliès, he did first to do stop motion and to film someone, stop the camera, get them to move out of the shot and keep them there, and then it looks like they disappeared. I mean, it's kind of like a magic trick, except on the silver screen.
Yeah. So those television shows that we used to have, what's his name? The great magician that would do those sorts of illusions with big mirrors and things like that and stop the camera.
Like David Copperfield.
Yes, the David Copperfields.
Yeah.
Do we know how he did all those things? Is that public knowledge now? Has Penn and Teller ruined everything?
big fan of Penn and Teller, so big fan. You have to know where to look, but the knowledge is out there for people to find. It's anything sort of arcane, you know, you can do it, but you can find out how it's done, but you do have to do your research type of thing. And I think I kind of like the idea of it's not knowledge that anyone can get, because it kind of keeps it mysterious and by extension romantic, even though looking behind the curtain seeing how the trick's done is ultimately disappointing, because it's treated sort of as arcane knowledge. There is a romanticism to it. I quite like that.
Those TV shows that were around probably the early 2000s about people showing how all these tricks were done, I hated those. I don't want to know how the trick's done.
I used to turn off. I didn't want to know, but I was still curious, so I would actually end up watching them and going, oh, okay.
I just enjoy the mystery, and I just go with that.
So. Speaking of mystery, all right. Yes, here on Sci-Fi and Scream, look, let us know. Do you have a favourite magician? Is there some historical figure, or do you get into magic? If so, the Melbourne Magic Festival is coming. It starts June the 27th. So basically it started and runs to July 9th. No, it doesn't.
It's May.
It doesn't start till July.
Oh, typo. Is that a typo?
Sorry, no, it doesn't start till June 27th.
Yeah, it's
we're
May,
in May.
So
we are too.
Until midnight, yes.
Oh my gosh, something happened while I was walking. I walked through some fog earlier and there was this dove that flew past very quickly and I'm sure I saw a top hat. And
that was just Raymond
I'm
getting
sure
out of the elevator.
Raymond brought that in with him. Yeah. Ray brought that in. See all these smoke and mirrors. Smoke and mirrors. Look at that. That comes from magic, doesn't it? That expression?
Yes, it does.
You're just agreeing with me.
Clayton. No, it does, yes.
Well, anyway, Sonia has goofed up. 0427 Joy949 or on air at joy.org.au. Tell us what sort of magic you like here on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy.
Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94. Is there a dot in there?
Yes,
just
point.
94.9. Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, stuntman, actor, director, lover, friend, confidant, shoulder to cry on. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Yes, it is Sci-Fi and Scream time here on Joy 94.9. And that's the wonderful Taika Waititi, who's, of course, Hunt for the Wilder People, the Wilder Water, is playing now. We've got some juicy interviews with him. You just go to sci-fi and scream on joy.org.au. We've also had last week's show, we talked about it, and the week before we talked about it. We just can't stop talking about him.
He is wonderful.
He is wonderful, isn't he, Clayton? Yeah.
You're very lucky having interviewed him twice now, I believe.
I know. Mm-hmm. And when I said to him, because I'm a real professional, not, when I said to him, well, you remember me, it was like, I was told later by a friend who does journalism, he said, you idiot. You'd never do that. You never do that. And I said, well, if anyone's going to be a dork, it's me, mm-hmm. including mucking up the time for the Melbourne Magic Festival. Yes, it is still May, and it starts not till June. So did I get that right? It is still May.
That is correct, yes.
It is still May for an hour and a half-ish.
Roughly. So, yes, and tell us a bit more about the Magic Festival. Raymond?
It's pretty much a place for independent magical artists such as myself and others to put on shows sort of similar to the Comedy Festival except exclusive to magic or and occasionally the variety arts. We had a ventriloquist one year and we had a purely circus performer the another year.
Oh, right.
Okay. But yeah, my show is called A Night of Variety. Once on July 3rd at 8:30 and then on July 8 and 9 at 7:15. And I call it that because I don't just do magic. I do a variety of things such as juggling and mime and all this other things. And I'm just trying to showcase all of that in one 45-minute show. It's just to boom, show everything I can do.
And of course we've asked you this question, but for those who aren't aware, well, they'd have to go back and look at the podcast. What brought you to magic? Is there a single thing? Or?
Yes. My best friend, I was at his bar mitzvah when I was 13, and there was a close-up magician there who did a trick that I will actually be doing on my show, where he got me to sign a card, and then he put the card in the middle of the pack, and it came to the top. Then he put it into the middle of the pack and it came to the top and it blew my mind. And I thought, that is just the coolest thing ever. I would love to learn how that was done. And then I turned 15 and I had some extra cash and went and blew it at the magic shop.
Yeah. Is that the Bernardi's magic shop?
Yes.
Where is that now? It's gone.
That is on Victoria Street.
It's just moved. It's not gone.
Good. Phew. All right.
It is on Victoria Street. It's a cool little shop. I do like that shop.
Yeah, yeah. Is there any secret doorways in it or behind any curtains? Are there any strange things that happen?
Well, they used to run they still do. Hmm. They run a juniors magic shop, magic club that meet every Saturday. And that was where I first got my chops as a performer.
When you say chops, I'm thinking of sawing someone in half. Sorry.
You have a one-track mind.
I do. I think of ladies being sawn in half. I'm sorry. I can't help it. Have you done that trick? Sorry. Have you cut someone in half and put them back together?
I've never personally done that trick. I tend to stick with magic in the hands, but that could make a pretty cool horror magic trick.
It would be great,
a really horror-themed presentation. I may work on that.
You might want to practice next year, a bit for
next year at the festival. Yeah. Next year, next year at the festival.
Oh. I'm too big to cut in half.
It's magic.
True.
Anything can happen.
We can make me thin.
We just need volunteers. Or disappear. Mm-hmm. No, we don't want that. So awesome. And you're doing that one. There's another thing you're doing too, isn't it?
Oh, the Variety Gala.
Oh, yeah. You're hosting something, aren't you?
Yes. That is something I've organized with a very good mate of mine. Mm. That's going to happen monthly, every first Sunday of every month. It's just a variety performance night centered around anything from contortion to acrobatics to jugglers. And we're going to have four or five acts a night. Mm-hmm. We're meeting the first Sunday of every month, so the next one comes this Sunday. Mm. Tickets are free, and at the end we take donations to give directly to the performers. Mm-hmm. I don't make anything from it. I'm just doing it to try and give some variety artists like myself a stage to perform on and to try and help them benefit and make money off their art. I've got 6 tickets left for this Sunday's show, so if you'd like to come down, just check out www.thevarietygala.com.au.
Mm. Wow, we will have a look at that. I'll put it up on Facebook on the Sci-Fi and Scream page. But
oh, thank you.
Yeah, look, I love the idea of making people disappear. That just keeps coming back again and again.
She has mentioned that a lot this week. Yeah, just, yeah, right. And he makes people disappear on the show. Like, I think she's trying to tell me something, actually.
Rabbits. You know, rabbits. Coming out of hats and things like that. Yeah, it's a mysterious world indeed. Now, I remember last time you were on air, you told us about a very ancient woman.
Oh, that's a good memory. Right? Good memory you have.
Yeah,
yes,
I know. Surprising,
I know her as Moyo Miller, and Moyo I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
Oh,
but
I remember because I couldn't remember her name. But she sounds fascinating. Can you briefly tell us who she is? She's a mysterious
woman. That's a really good question. Mm. She kind of inhabited a world where magic was in its golden age. Mm. And when I say golden age, I believe possibly predating cinema as the mass form of entertainment. Mm. Prior to that, it was like theater as live entertainment was the go-to form of entertainment, and she was the assistant to Dante, I believe.
Dante, I mean, with names like that.
Yes, I believe Dante's it was Dante. Mm. She would turn, if she's still alive, she would turn 101 this year.
Mm.
And she was billed as the most beautiful woman in the world. But she's gone down in history as one of magic's greatest assistants and most well-known assistants. You all know
the
big
I've seen her picture and she's just stunning, like the golden age, just like a almost a silent sort of goddess, you know.
Oh, you mentioned cutting a lady in half.
Yes.
It's been estimated, I believe, that she would have been cut in half about 3,000 times.
Wow, and she looked fine to me.
She looked pretty good.
If she's alive, she lives in Geelong, is that right?
Yes.
We believe she's located there.
You could probably bring her up on Wikipedia, I would think.
Mm.
Could confirm some of the things that I'm saying.
Yeah, I was just fascinated by that, and I thought, gosh, it'd be great to interview her if she is still around.
That's just such a link to a to
yeah bygone
really
era.
Fascinating.
Moya Miller, we think.
M-O-I.
M-O-I, okay.
And then I think space Y-O.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Something's happening. Fascinating. Good. All right. So, again, people can go to your page. Do you have a page as well? Or?
My website is www.rayofmagic.com.
Mm-hmm. Good. Awesome. Now, I guess we're going to be speaking a bit about magic soon with Wolf Creek.
Magic? Oh, that's a big claim.
Is it? Mysterious.
There were some magic performances in there.
Yeah, is interesting. That,
it's a nice segue. Good try.
Good. Well, I do try. Or I am trying. What have
You're
you found?
Trying.
Found anything?
No, yeah. We'll come back to that later, maybe.
Well, let's do that later. We'll pull something out of a hat.
We will. Or the internet.
Well, good luck with everything, Ray.
Thank you, Sonia.
That's great to have you on again. Yeah, I'm a magic fan. I remember as a kid going to a magic shop and just being blown away. And all I wanted for Christmas was a magic set, a rabbit and a hat. I got a rabbit and I didn't get the hat.
Live rabbit or toy rabbit?
No, a real rabbit.
Okay.
And Yeah, he wasn't very nice, actually. He turned out to be a little bit aggressive.
More like the one from Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Or
a little bit, yeah. What's up, Doc? All right, don't forget, message us in if you'd like to, 0427 joy949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. You're listening to the magic of Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Scott Rosenberg, creator of Cowboys and Aliens on Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
I would like to return your ultimate belt. I won it as a prize at the Star Trek convention, although I find their choice of prize highly illogical, as the average Trekker has no use for a medium-sized belt.
Oh, fat, sarcastic Star Trek fan. You must be a devil with the ladies.
Very well, I must hurry back to my store, where I dispense the insults rather than absorb them.
And now, Clay Talks on the Box, only on Joy 94.9.
When a tourist gets chomped up by a crocodile in a territory, the numbers go up. So I don't know whether it does detract from tourism. I think it probably has the opposite effect, because most people know that it's what I do is just a movie. And also, Ivan Milat worked just outside of Sydney. You don't have to go far to get killed by a serial killer in Australia. You know, you go to Manchester and England and there's people being buried under houses in the middle of streets. So it's... You know, it's not just the outback.
We've got plenty of demons out of here. What you gonna do about yours?
Yes, Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9 with Sonia and Claytox. And it is a Claytox half hour now.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've ever had a full half hour to myself before.
Well, give or take. A few messages here and there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A bit of music, perhaps. And
yes.
We had, of course, Lisa Salvo doing Who Killed Cock Robin. There's a real theme to the show tonight. Dead birds. No birds have been harmed
in the
tonight,
making of this
in the
show.
Making of this episode.
Yeah.
But we're talking Wolf Creek, the 2016 Australian drama, horror, thriller, web television streaming series on Stan. We've got to say it.
It's on that. Absolutely. It's on Stan.
It's on Stan. Mm-hmm. Spin-off of the movies Wolf Creek and Wolf Creek 2. And this is the first season of 6 episodes. So it's like a mini-series,
They're calling it a mini-series, so there's no talk of whether there's going to be a season 2, whether this is a one-off thing. Mm. I think they're calling it event television or something now.
Event television.
Mm. Yes, because it's a one-off thing rather than an ongoing. Mm. Like the X-Files was event television.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Yes.
The modern version, anyway. Well, no, not really. But
so tell us about Wolf Creek.
So we see John Jarrett back in his role as Mick Taylor.
Yeah.
See if we can get that accent by the end of the episode. Where young Eve, he opens up with the slaughter of her family, and she decides after that that she is going to get her revenge on Mick for killing her family. So it kind of ends being a chase across the countryside. And each episode is based after a town in Australia, be it real or imagined, I'm not sure. I hadn't heard of any of them, so apart from Wolf Creek, but I don't even know if that's real or not. So it follows on from the TV series in that Mick is this ongoing serial killer throughout the outback, and he looks at the opportunity to kill Eve's family as a bit of just a nice little night's entertainment. But things don't quite go according to plan for him because Eve does escape despite being shot through the ribs. So she ends up in hospital and then helped out by the policeman played by Dustin Clare. So his character, Sullivan Hill, gets on the case as the detective to help. Well, he doesn't want to help her. He actually wants to find Mick Taylor's character. Sorry, Mick Taylor for himself. But Lucy Fry's character, Eve, gets away from him and she ends up chasing after Mick.
Mm. So it's the hunter and the hunted, the prey and the predator.
Yeah, and they swap roles throughout the series.
Is, yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
It's back and forth.
It's interesting. It's probably a bit like The Magician and The Magician's Assistant.
Absolutely.
If it was twisted between the two.
If you know, we had two musicians playing assistants to each other, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, yes, it's, look, I enjoyed. What did you think? I'm going to go for more later, but I'm going to start with I enjoyed.
Yeah, look, the opening credits, immediately I'm thinking True Blood. I'm thinking it's very derivative. I'm thinking, I love the soundtrack, obviously, because I played the song twice on this show, but two different versions. Yeah, that intrigued me, but also it did make me think, oh, are we just going to be, not very, is it going to be very original as far as, is this going to be interesting event television, or is it going to be something that we've seen before? And
and it is derivative, but mostly of its own source material. Mm. So,
well, true, yeah. But I'm talking about the style. I'm talking about the aesthetic of the whole, the look of it. And then, of course, it goes into, the main protagonist, a female, and we do see, you know, she's the naughty teenager. She's been a cheerleader or something of that.
No, she's a not Olympian, but high-level athlete.
Okay, so a generation ago, she would have been a cheerleader.
Yeah, but now she's an athlete.
Actually an athlete.
With some sort of dependence. Not quite sure if it's drugs or alcohol. I think it might be drugs. So
substance abuse.
Yeah, basically,
sort.
Yeah.
And, her parents don't trust her, but for some reason they're in the outback of Australia.
Yeah.
And
because the
brother,
outback's a great place to get rid of your drug and alcohol problem.
Yeah, and obviously he doesn't know about the crocodile warnings that you have in rivers and things. It's Northern Territory, I think it starts.
It starts in the Northern Territory.
Northern Territory.
Yes.
This does move around a little bit, like serial killers in Australia move around.
It starts in the town of Billabong.
Mm. Well, it would do, wouldn't it? Because I mean, that's probably something you could sell to tourists. Mm-hmm. So I think it starts off with a lot of the tropes and stereotypes about the ochre, the Australian, the outback, and the primitivism, nature versus human. It's got all those things, and I found that quite boring, to be honest. Mm. I thought, have we gone down this? We've been doing this since Wake and Fright, since the 1970s, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely.
With Jack Thompson. And I was going to think, is Paul Hogan or Jack Thompson going to turn up? There's even a Bowie knife, a Bowie knife.
Oh, they even use the line.
Reference.
That's
not
a knife.
I'll show you a knife. You know, and then it gets gruesome. Of course it does. But that's the gruesomeness that we appreciate, and we do enjoy that type of fictional violence. Obviously.
And I'm going to argue it's not gruesome enough, though. Mm-hmm. The gruesome is too spaced out. Like
too spaced out, man,
too spaced,
or too
no, spaced out as in distance, not as in
out
drugs and alcohol again. So I think it could have been happily compressed into four episodes, and we still probably would have had a little bit too much content.
Yeah,
it's the good parts are a little too far between. It's very very long, and you feel it. And
it does drag a bit like a dingo's behind after a heavy night in the dust bowl of, I don't know.
I'm quite impressed.
Yeah.
That was actually pretty good for a New Zealander.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Can you do it the other way around?
Give me some time to think about it.
But yeah, look, I did wonder about the audience they were trying to appeal to. I mean, here we have a female, she's an American, so we can't even have an Australian who's going through this journey or whatever it is, this experience. As much as I ended up really liking Lucy Fry, played is it Lucy Fry?
Lucy Fry is the actress.
Eve Thorogood. Mm-hmm. I really did like her character, but there was some very, you have to suspend your disbelief. You'd have to be, definitely into magic, thinking magic's going to happen any moment now, because this is a woman that has clearly had no experience in a rugged, a very dry, very inhospitable terrain called Australia, where there's like 200 different types of poisonous spiders, let alone crocodiles that'll eat you. Not just eat you, but hide you under a log and then eat you later and finish you off, but then maybe hide you in a tree.
She does adapt quickly.
She does adapt very quickly for someone who's not born here.
Yeah.
And she just seems to have this wealth of resources and very little food to keep her stamina going. So, yeah, I think you have to suspend your belief a lot in this series.
Suspend disbelief, I believe you're looking for.
Yes, that as well. Yep. Just suspend yourself if you can.
Well, that's a different show again.
Hurting yourself.
I actually, one of the minor characters was the standout for me, which was Deborah Mailman, whose character is just phenomenal.
As Bernadette. She runs this bizarre little diner, isn't it?
It's, yeah.
But even that is American, isn't it?
No,
the concept of a diner.
And a diner is, but it's kind of like this roadside, which is, you're right, very
road
American.
Road stop, truck stop.
We get a very sort of European thing to have the face of the Madonna in this place as well.
Yeah, so there's this Catholicism going on, and apparently the Madonna appeared on the bathroom floor.
When her mum was mopping.
When her mum was alive, and she keeps the business open to sell, you know, knickknacks that have the bathroom Madonna's face on it. So,
yeah.
I don't know what this is supposed to mean. I really don't.
The character itself was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, and she's great. She's very
comedic. Pegs Eve as being Irish when she's got very much not an Irish accent.
Yeah.
And it's like, Bernadette knows an accent she does. The wrong accent. Yeah. knows an accent she does.
Yeah, there's some very strange characters in it. It's just, I don't know if it works, but they become just funny, and then you just sort of give up a bit. We also saw Rachel House, the Māori actress, Kiwi actress, as Ruth, a trucker, and we only see her for once in appearance, and then she disappears. I mean, she's such a good character.
She was great. And
that just isn't there. So we've got all these little characters from some great actors from across the ditch as well as
here.
Well,
she gives Eve her strength in a lot of ways. You know, she empowers Eve very much so
and then disappears and is written out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Did you have a favourite episode out of all?
No. They kind of just blended very well.
Okay.
Did you?
I quite liked the, I think it was the Opalville.
Second to last.
Because that was very odd. Mm. That had, what's his name? God, I should know his name. Very famous Australian actor.
Very famous.
Very famous. Mm-hmm. So famous that we're just completely idiots and haven't got his name. But yeah, look, it's just a very far-fetched. That was a far-fetched story, but I was quite engrossed by it. So,
I found the police character, he was good, but I didn't get the point of him. Like, he had this backstory which was not very interesting, and then his wife was having an affair with a very unattractive man. I didn't really understand. So what?
He was the gardener or something.
Oh, was he? Okay,
are we ruining the whole thing if you're listening to this?
There's so much. Look, it goes for 66 hours, and so there's plenty
in
there.
Did you say 66 hours?
No, I was going to say 66 hours, and then realized it's actually six. So it's long. It's
a big,
very long.
It's long.
Pack a lunch.
I'm thinking, look, I'll always watch stuff like this because it's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, it was quite, a lot of it was very forgettable.
Mm.
The things that stood out were the performances and some of the character actors. The things that didn't stand out was pretty much the rest of the story, which was just getting ridiculous. There was one moment where they were having like a Western trope where it was high noon and they were shooting out at a very European
graveyard
in the middle of the desert, which was very strange, and you knew that that wasn't a real graveyard. You could tell it was a prop, although they were props.
The fact they didn't have a little Western ditty playing in the background was quite surprising.
Oh, it was like high noon. I just thought, this is just odd. I didn't understand that. The thing that was interesting was the contrast between the characters, the male and the the female and the masculine. That concept was interesting. It could have gone further if we'd seen more of the Rachel House character and more empowerment for, I mean, she's supposed to be 19, but she's pretty much as physical like a 29, 35-year-old woman. So, I'm thinking do we know if they're going to be in a second series?
We don't. There's definitely another film coming. Wolf Creek 3.
Okay.
So,
maybe they hope that does well and they'll do another one.
I'm not sure I could sit through another 6 hours of that, though. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, look, maybe this is better on the big screen.
I think so.
It's got so many elements to it, and it's got that very pastiche sort of melodrama that belongs to a B-grade sort of Aussie exploitation era. Ozploitation.
Which
have
is really...
Of Ozploitation? Because, of course, Greg McLean has and Mark Hartley have worked together on Ozploitation ideas and films and documentaries. So...
It's really a concept that works beautifully in 90 minutes. It's not something that works beautifully in 6 hours.
All right. So it's a genre considered drama, horror, psychological thriller created by Greg McLean, of course, who did the first two films, written by Peter Gawler and Felicity Packard. So at least there's a woman in there writing. Directed by Greg McLean and Tony Tilsey. Stars John Jarrett, of course, returning as Mick. Lucy Fry is our feminist protagonist, maybe. But she's a foreigner. That just seemed odd. But anyway, Dustin Clare. It's Australian, of course, in English language mostly. And only 6 episodes. It's an event.
Event television.
It looks pretty. It looked pretty good. I mean, it did look.
Stylistically, it was fine.
Yeah, yeah. And it's out through Emu Creek Pictures and distributed by Banjay Entertainment. And it's still streaming.
And I think Screen Australia put some money in there as well, from memory. So it's got good stuff behind it, but just didn't quite pull it off.
Well, maybe there will be a second season. We'll find out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, at the end of the day, real horror is more entertaining if it's done in a fictional way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, based on... I mean, if they did the story of Ivan Milat, if they could ever get the rights and the legal rights to do the story of this heinous man, a true serial killer, that would be probably... more interesting, definitely disturbing, but more interesting. You know, he had he cut his finger off a few years back.
Oh,
so he could hopefully get out of prison or something. So he's still in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how many women he actually killed and terrorized, but several. A lot of them. I guess the reason they had a foreigner, you know, she's almost like a backpacker, is because he did prey on foreign women. The real Ivan Milat did, and. I know there was quite a few New Zealand women that went missing. So maybe they should have had a New Zealander.
I know the second film is very much based on a very specific incident that occurred around someone who actually escaped from.
Okay.
Whereas I'm not sure if the first or this one is based on much other than just ongoing mythology around the outback.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe it would be just more interesting to do the story.
Mm.
Anyway, we're not telling Greg McLean or anyone what to do.
No.
Look, still watch it. If you liked horror, you'll still want to get your teeth into this and hopefully keep your teeth.
And if you like the movies, you're probably going to want to check it out.
You'll want to check it out. Okay, that's our Wolf Creek. Not up the creek, not quite.
Not quite. Watchable.
Downriver.
Creek.
Yes, Watchable Creek, not washable. And this is Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9.
The international community has accused us of violating human rights. But these creatures are not human.
We do not share the same DNA. We don't know exactly what they are. This only reaffirms this government's commitment to keep these subhumans within the zone.
Can we just accept that they are not subbed anything, that people... What you're really talking about is the forcible removal of innocent people from their homes.
Your people have 50,000 years of research locked up. I need your help to unlock that knowledge.
You can heal. You can see things.
You know you don't choose to be the clever man.
I know. You get chosen.
Your brother is going to be mighty pissed off. He's been waiting for this day all his life.
We have given the subhumans every chance to become one of us, and we've been repaid with blood and terror.
I want the zone cleared.
We're being hunted like dogs.
Get them out!
More people are gonna die unless you act.
Why should I care what happens to some fucking subbies?
That's your job, clever man.
Time for you to step up.
Today is the day we take back what belongs to us.
You people are a disgrace.
We are family, now and forever.
You're the ones that are subhuman.
World's a
the tipping point where only the fit will survive.
There is nowhere for me to be me.
The time for change is now.
Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9, and that was the wonderful Science Fiction Days by the amazing Cherie Currie. Cherry bomb. Yeah, from the Runaways.
The smile on your face is adorable.
I know. It's not very often that you crush on someone and then the crush lives up to
expectations,
and that's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's
Oh, shit.
Oh, no, I said the word S.
We're after 10. It's okay.
Yes, but also the trailer of Cleverman. You might have heard at the beginning. And Cleverman, what is it? It is possibly going to be, I think, one of the biggest television on television, not streaming or anything as such, but actually on a television.
Well, I hope this is series television, so we get more of it.
Well, we'll find out. So what's it about? It's actually an American, Australian and New Zealand production for the ABC here in Australia at this stage. It's going to air very soon, this Thursday, I believe
it's the Thursday, yes, on ABC.
The 3rd, and it is the 3rd, isn't it, on Thursday? Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm getting the dates right these days. And then it's going to be on something called Sundance TV in the US later on, I think, maybe in July or something.
Thursday's the 2nd. It's not the 3rd.
Oh,
yeah, Thursday
right.
the 2nd, yeah.
So
tomorrow's
Thursday
the 1st.
Yeah, we're getting there.
It's not your night for time.
I don't know what I'm saying, but...
Sorry, back to the show.
Yeah, Cleverman.
Yes.
Something I lack. What's it about there? Do we know? Without spoiling it.
Without spoiling, it is based on two Indigenous dreamings.
Mm-hmm.
The one about the hairy people. I don't know if they're actually called that in the Indigenous, but that's what they're called in the show. Mm. And also the clever man, who is a kind of Indigenous superhero.
Mm.
And the maker of the show said he made it because his son needed an Indigenous superhero. So I think that's a fantastic reason to make a show.
Yeah. And that's Ryan Griffin, the person who came up with this concept of that. A very original idea. And we hope to be speaking to him later this week. So... we will play that, hopefully, interview next week. Oh, we should have got it today, but never mind.
It is set in the future, too, which is quite cool.
Yeah, it's dystopical, set in the future, but it could be now. And it mixes all these tropes and all these things together, including things like the refugee situation in regards to Australia, mixed with Indigenous rights and equality. Mm-hmm. All these different things are all blended together. A very, interesting and unique look at those... very contemporary issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And using both futuristic and historical things to blend that into dealing
and
with
very
the contemporary.
Yeah.
So it's really a bit of everything. So it's
with a fantastic cast.
Amazing cast. Deborah Mailman, I'm just going to throw her out right now. Let's get back in again.
You're in the Deborah Mailman.
I do love Deborah Mailman.
Yeah.
Always have.
Yeah. So look, we're looking forward to when it does get released. I'm sure it will be on iView and probably, I would imagine, one of the most viewed shows to come out of Australia for Australian television, but it's already getting international buzz. So
definitely worth checking out. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Every second is worth watching.
We'll go more into depth into it soon. Oh, I can't wait. And also, I want to thank Raymond for coming on tonight.
Thank you very much for having me, Sonia.
Giving us a bit of a magic, something a bit different there. Nothing disappeared that we know. We haven't checked
I haven't checked the wallet yet.
Just check your pocket quickly.
Uh-huh.
Cool, now I know where it is.
Oh my god.
Actually, that was the car keys.
Is it the car keys?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I've got the car keys.
It's a hamster. All right. No, look, thank you very much for coming in again. Good luck with the show. When is it again? Which show are we talking about?
All right. Well, I've got the Variety Gala happening this Sunday, which is free entry at Pulp Bar.
Yep.
I've got 6 tickets left for that. Come on down at 7:30 this Sunday. If not, I'm hosting, doing a night of variety at the Northcote Town Hall for the Melbourne Magic Festival, 8:30, July 3rd, and July 8 and 9 at 7:15 has some of my favourite pieces.
You knew those details so well. Well,
I've got the flyer right here, actually.
Don't ask me about it.
Right, no, I knew. I was just trying to make you sound good.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Ray. And up next, who's next?
It is Behind the Curtain with Colin.
Yeah, coming soon to a radio broadcast near you.
Near us.
Well, that's us, yeah, actually. Yeah. So next week, oh my God, it is Oz Comic Con time. So we're burning it up, warming it up for that. And we'll also be having a chat with the organisers from Continuum, which is on for the same Queen's birthday weekend, that long weekend coming up.
Is there a long weekend coming up?
Yes, there is. 2 weeks.
Okay, cool.
Wakey, wakey. Mm-hmm. All right, this has been Sci-Fi and Squeam. So we'll be talking more about that. We'll have Lauren Stardust in and other fabulous guests for that Continuum and Oz Comic Con and much, much more on Sci-Fi and Squeam next week. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Good night. Bye bye.
You've been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and squeam for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.